we supposed to start the puja at 8:15. We wait for another few minutes. Tonight's puja, who is the one that arranged? Is it from the clan group again? Or mixture? Many people. Okay. Those who haven't light the candle and the incense before, maybe you can come forward after this. Then together we shall offer all this. Wow, the flower is very nice. Oh, that lotus flower is artificial. But it's nice, nice. The small bouquet, very cute. Easy. Very cute. Alin, come. You haven't liked before, Then who else? Sadhu. Actually, we like where? Oh, never mind. You like, you saw that. You just came back from Sydney. She traveled a lot. Sadhu. Sadhu. Come. Sadhu. Kelly. Christy. This is a form.
Thank you.
Okay, lighted already, yeah? Oh, the candle. Oh, the incense. Okay, we can get ready for puja, huh? So we will pay respect to Triple Gem, huh? Then after that, we will start our puja. Okay, compose your mind, huh? Develop the faith, sadha, then the virya. Then we pay respect mindfully, yeah? Bhutang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, we can all stand, eh? Then come forward from one continuous line, huh? Then we will offer the tray first. Come. Padmasri, yeah, you can offer the tray first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 This one got to hold properly, yeah? Yeah, yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu means rejoicing, eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Means we are rejoicing with all the generosity and the offering, eh? And the wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's one of the four Brahma Viharas, that the Buddha recommended highly. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When you can rejoice, your heart will open up. Then there is a lot of happiness in you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The lotus. Can go round, first time send it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, once more like. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, do sadhu, sadhu. Okay, oh, one more light, huh? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Put up there, okay, sadhu. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now you all can be seated. Then we can chant the puja. Turn to page 4 of your chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tithyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We are now chanting the Padipa Puja offering. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang san buddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siripada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena Punnena matena cha ho tu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganha tumuttamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We will do the aspiration. basing on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and condition to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offerings of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits and cake. May these offerings of fruits and cake remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma. We will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition sooner possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely drive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, free Nibbana. Making our overall aspiration. By the power of these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas. Sharing on a transference of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect mindfully, to Sakyamuni Buddha. We will chant the Thai tradition. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Asauka Sango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can all be seated. Then we will stop. Okay, you all can actually move in front a bit. There are still some space in front. Come nearer. Yeah. So that there is more space at the back. Okay. Okay. A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. You can just relax yourself, make sure you have a comfortable posture. For those who are maybe elderly, or you have certain bodily situation that needs you to rest, on a chair. You can also sit on a chair, on a stool. Huh? You don't have to cross leg on the floor. Meditation can be done in any posture. As long as it's stable, comfortable, you can. Then learn how to relax your body and mind. Maintain silence. As far as possible, just relax, maintain silence. Okay, tonight maybe I think quite a number are new. I observe there are a few. So maybe I'll take this opportunity to explain a bit on what we do here. So the class actually start at about 8:15. But Brother Sui An will ask those who wants to make offering, who can come earlier, to come at about 8:10, so that you can prepare your whatever offering to the altar, so that we can have our puja offering at exactly 8:15. The purpose of all this puja offering is to develop what we call the spiritual faculties, the faith. The very strong sadha or faith in you, in the Buddha, in his teaching. Faith is the number one spiritual faculty for you to understand spiritual teaching. So if you look at the whiteboard, the first category of Dhamma up there is the five mental hindrance. Then the second opposite five category of Dhamma is the five spiritual faculty down here. So these two are very important, essential dhammas of the Buddha. The Buddha explained very clearly, he said, the reason why living being cannot be peaceful is because of the first category of five mental hindrance. When you have them, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. So because of that, the Buddha said, in order to train your mind to develop the meditation, you must understand that with this hindrance around, you cannot meditate. Technically, you cannot meditate. So you need to understand them. Then you need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty so that it will help you overcome the hindrance without you having to fight them, suppress them, or control them. You don't have to do anything, the Buddha said. The moment you have this five spiritual faculty, the hindrance will be gone. But because you lack these five, he said, that's why you cannot develop the spiritual understanding of his teaching. And you cannot develop the silent mind, the inner awareness with the mindfulness within. That is the meditative mind. So because of that, the Buddha said, the key to developing meditation and understanding his teaching is to cultivate this five spiritual faculty. And the easiest way is to go through the devotional practice, which the Buddha called it the puja. So this devotional practice that we do is before the ceremony start. We call it the pre-puja. Then towards the end, we have the closing puja, where we rejoice, share these merits, transfer these merits. Then we invoke the power of merits for the blessing of our nation. And you make your appropriate aspiration by invoking the power of all these merits for causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish meet up with the wise, so the enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized as soon as possible. So this will speed up your cultivation. So all these are part of the teaching. So if people don't understand the significance of all this puja offering, then they thought it's right and ritual, they will miss. Then they were like neglect and don't do. But since it's a very important integral practice recommended by the Buddha, then we will train you to develop it so that you do with understanding. Initially, it's like what you see, those who came early. You see all the various offerings. These are all brought by Kayanamitas. Then we have this, what they call Kayanamita Fund, who actually will be the one responsible for all this whatever offering. But because they bring, then they're supposed to reimburse. But you can donate back to the Kayanamita Fund. so that it can be a very wholesome action and people can rejoice at the same time. And it allows you to have the condition to exercise generosity and all those things. If the item costs too much, you better let either Sui An or Stephanie know so that you can reimburse. So that we can actually at times, for certain occasion, buy certain very significant items for offering. But the basic item are like what we chant, the offering of incense followed by clear water, and they have special Dhamma significance. Then they also have offering of light. Then we also have what they call offering of flowers, fruits. Then sometimes devotee also bring cake. Like now, today we have some cake. So all these are very, very significant and meaningful items for offering. If you read through the puja book at the back, when we make use of all this wholesomeness to invoke our aspiration through the understanding of whatever offering that we make. So all this will develop not only the faith in you, it also develops the merits in you, the blessings in you. And all this is going to help you as you cultivate, as you walk along the path of Dhamma. Then when you have this ability to make this offering, we also rejoice. We say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Means we rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those who have this understanding to bring about all this offering so that it can benefit all Kayanamitas, so that it can be an occasion to rejoice. And when we do it with faith and mindfulness, then our saddha very strong. This faith becomes very strong. Then it will motivate you to develop the understanding of the teaching. Then later on, as we chant, we will, what they call, chant the salutation to the Buddha. We pay respect first. So reverential salutation is also one of the 10 meritorious actions. Then when we take refuge, the meaning is very important and very deep. When we take refuge with the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, they are called the triple gem. And what are gem? Gem are the most precious of all the precious stones. That's why you call them the gemstone. It is because they are so precious. If you don't take refuge with this triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, you cannot find the teaching. Because the Sammasambuddha will definitely have the teaching. Then the Dhamma is the teaching, actually. Then the third one is the Sangha, community of monks, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Because they are enlightened disciples, they also have the teaching. So we need to take refuge, because apart from the triple gem, there is no other real refuge, because you cannot find the teaching, the Four Noble Truths. Given this understanding, when you take refuge, you determine to create affinity with the triple gem, so that life after life, should your nature need to come or have to come, then whenever there is this triple gem around, it will connect you to them because you have taken refuge. That's why when you chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, you feel it from your heart that you go to the Buddha for refuge. There is no other refuge except the Buddha. Then you go to the Dhamma for refuge. Then you go to the Sangha for the refuge. And this will create the causes and condition for you to actually bond with them and develop the clear affinity for you to actually come into contact with the triple gem whenever they arise in the world where you are born or where you take birth. So these are the important message of pre-puja. Then later on, the closing puja, we will share merits with all the devas. Then we will invoke them to protect the sasana. Then we also will transfer and share all these merits with all those who can receive them, especially your departed relatives and all these things. Then after that, you can also invoke the power of merits for the blessing of the nation. then to help yourself to progress along the path of Dhamma. So all these are very, very meaningful and wholesome. Then when you pay respect, we do it mindfully. That's why you develop the third spiritual faculty of mindfulness. To be mindful is very easy. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware, you are already mindful. So when you pay respect mindfully, means body and mind move as one without thought. That is sati. Don't try to know anything. Just with the faith, just body and mind pay respect simultaneously. Yeah. Kaya nupasana is the awareness, and the kaya means the bodily form, bodily action, or your breath or whatever. They are in perfect harmony and synchrony. Means your breath and the mind, awareness as one, or the whatever activity within your kaya, your body and your mind as one, means attentive within your body. Then as it moves, your hand, the mind and the hand together. Then as you walk, the mind and the body as one. So this is what sati is all about. Then you can, later on, we will chant what they call, after the meditation, we will chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, so that we know who the Buddha is, what the teaching is, and how wonderful and special the Buddha is, so that our faith can become very, very stable, until one day it becomes unshakable. Then later on, not only this faith in his quality, his wisdom, and his perfection, you also have faith in his teaching, where his teaching is very unique and very wonderful. It can bring about enlightenment in the here and now, freedom from all suffering. Yeah. So because of that, the sadha will be strengthened until it becomes unshakable. Then it will drive you to cultivate. That is the spiritual faculty of virya, spiritual zeal. Then from there, mindfulness will be developed. Then as you stabilize the mindfulness, it will become samadhi. Means your mind will become collected and unwavering. Not in concentration, but in the normal state of awareness. Then lastly, because you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are clearly. That's why you can develop the wisdom, the understanding of life, the awakening, the enlightenment. So sadha leading to virya, sati, samadhi, and finally panya, which is wisdom. This five spiritual faculty will bring about the enlightenment in the here and the now. So when spiritual faculties are there, the hindrance will be gone. First, we talk about the faith. When you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed. Then you don't have fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness. This hindrance is gone. Okay? Then after that, when you have faith, you also no more doubt. Then as you develop the virya, you are not sleepy anymore. Sloth and topple, hindrance will be gone. Then as you develop the samadhi and the sati, you do have no thought. When you don't have thought, you don't have sensual desire, you will, the duality will not manifest. Then finally, you will understand why living beings behave that way and how they get themselves entangled through delusion and become caught in the life of samsara, or what they call the life of birth and death, where suffering prevail because of their delusion and lack of understanding. So the spiritual faculty, finally when you develop wisdom, all the five hindrances will be gone. That is how you transform. Then when you have the spiritual faculty, you can easily meditate. You don't need, technically you don't need any object of meditation and all those things. So object of meditation are only required initially when your spiritual faculty are not strong, when your hindrance are still strong and powerful. So with this brief introduction, now we will move into the meditation proper. Okay, we can off the light. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. For those who still need instruction and are still quite new, I will give you some training and instruction as to how to train your mind to develop the stability of mindfulness, so that you can become peaceful, calm, and develop the inner awareness to meditate, to understand what is going on within your own form of mind. Okay, make sure you got a stable posture. You can sit either on the floor, cross-legged, or on a chair, or on a sofa. Anything that is comfortable to you, that can allow your posture to maintain the stability for quite a while. Then you check your backbone, make sure it's straight. Then close your eye. Silence everything. Relax body and mind. Then I will teach you a skillful means to decondition your whatever heedless thinking or restlessness of mind. We call it the mind sweeping method. You just silence everything, relax body and mind. Then just maintain attention or feel. Feel your forehead. If you can detect any tightness, any tension, or any stress within, you just silently relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle, do the same. Don't think, just feel. Feel and relax into every part of your eye muscle. Then you move on to your facial muscle, do the same. Feel and relax them all, every strand of it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then in order to assist you further to relax naturally, you can radiate a radiant smile facing a mirror. Radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate that radiant smile, there will be happiness, there will be joy within your heart, and you will be naturally relaxed. Then from there, you can combine the mind sweeping method with loving kindness meditation or metta to bring about inner well-being within your mind. The mind sweeping method can make you peaceful, then it will lead to inner peace. Then loving kindness will give you the inner well-being. So the first two important byproduct of meditation is inner peace leading to inner well-being. So now I will teach you how to develop inner well-being. You recite following me. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and the happiness deep within your own body and mind. As you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you feel the body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. Each and every cell within your body, feel it soothingly, relax with inner peace, inner well-being, and inner happiness. Then after that, you continue to read it. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel your entire body and mind free of any suffering, whether physical or mental suffering. Then you continue to read it. May it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this loving kindness and metta to your loved ones. May my loved ones be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya and all Kayanamitas, Dhamma friends, fellow meditators and cultivators, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful, always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this metta. May all beings within the entire of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then Mother Earth, planet Earth, then our entire solar system, our entire galaxy, Milky Way, and the entire whole universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts of all these beings. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you silence your mind and come back to your facial muscle. Just feel. Feel it soothingly. Relax, then relax every part of it. Then you bring your attention to your neck, feel, relax, don't think, just feel, relax. Shoulder, do the same, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then you move your attention to your heart or your chest area. Yeah. Just silence your mind and feel. You can detect any vibration within your heart area or your heartbeat. You just silence your mind and stay there. If you are new, not familiar with this awareness, you have not developed them yet, it's okay. Then you just feel your heart area like you feel your forehead. Any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then after that you move on. You sweep your mind down to your stomach. Silent and feel your stomach. Then relax into it. Then you move on to your abdomen. Silent, feel and relax into it. Then you move on to your leg and your buttock. Do the same. Just feel, relax, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method from your leg. You feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax. Then your abdomen, do the same, feel. Relax, stomach, feel, relax, and then back to heart area. So if you are sensitive and you have developed your mindfulness, you can just stay at the heart there, relax and just maintain awareness. You will detect the vibration and the heartbeat when you are silent, completely silent. Then you move up from your heart area to your shoulder, feel, relax, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, do the same, then neck, feel, relax, then facial muscle, feel, relax, Then you go back to your eye muscle, do the same, feel and relax every strand of it. Then your forehead. By now you should be much more peaceful and calm. Then you can actually now revert to the training of your mind to be mindful and aware by anchoring it to a skillful means or an object of meditation that you are familiar with. If you don't have any specific or particular character or object of meditation, then you can actually follow the recommendation of Lord Buddha. He recommended the use of Anapanasati. Anapanasati is actually mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is actually mindfulness of the in and out breath. To do this is very simple. You just maintain attention in front of your nostril. Just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril, just silent. Then breathe in, breathe out naturally. Yeah. The moment the mind detects the breathing, just mind and the breath move as one. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Yeah. Just continue to train that way. Then if you have not developed the training, this mind will wander off very fast. Split second is gone. So like the Buddha said, if you want this off, don't react, don't panic. Just maintain patience and understanding that the untrained mind think a lot. The untrained mind is heedless. So you just patiently bring it back to your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril and train again. So every time you wander off, you bring it back. Every time you wander off, you bring it back. Not long, your mind will settle down. Then when you are able to do Anapanasati, you become very beautiful, very different. Then your mind state become very calm and very peaceful. And for the first time, you will experience a state of mind that is without thought, but only awareness or mindfulness. During this moment, you will experience a type of joy they call piti, spiritual calmness, spiritual joy or spiritual rapture. So you experience them, you continue to relax into it and just silent and maintain the awareness until it becomes more and more refined. Then it can transform into another more refined state of peace, which they call sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state. They call it the spiritual bliss, born of the calm mind. Born of a mind that is very, very blissful because the mindfulness has stabilized and it has become so clear that every moment of in-breath and out-breath there is such clarity that it will go into absorption. Into all this mind state where piti and sukha can develop. Then what you need is to continue to relax into it and silent. Don't do anything. Then after a while, this piti and sukha, they will again transform. And the mind become more and more refined until it enters the state of pasati. Pasati is the natural state of mind that is tranquil, peaceful and still, without thought. So when you hit pasati, all of your object of meditation slow down, the breathing slow down until like little or no breathing, very subtle. Even those who do rising and falling also, the same will happen. Then all this, it will actually fall into place. Then you continue to relax and just silent and don't do anything. Then not long you will stabilize this sati or mindfulness until the pasati, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind is so stable. During that time, your mind has actually transformed and become different. The mind that is in sati is the silent mind without thought. That is the mind that can meditate. So paucity is the final training. The moment you develop this ability to be silent and peaceful, this mind technically don't need any object of meditation to stay there. It is already mindful on its own. And you can use this trained mind to come out into life and live life. Then you will come to realize your mind become very different, very sensitive, full of awareness. Wherever you locate this mind, there is a lot of clarity. You can detect vibration all over your body. Even the subtle breathing will come back to you. Then when you locate it at the heart area, you will be able to detect your heartbeat or any vibration within, without even the need of any stethoscope or what. Your mind is naturally aware and sensitive. So I'll leave it to you to train your mind in this way. Then for those who really know how to meditate, you just relax, silent, and maintain awareness. Then after that, whatever that arises within your six sense door, you will be able to understand them. Then you will be able to see clearly how you function as a human being, how your mind state follows certain nature's law. And you will be able to witness all the essential dhammas that the Buddha has taught us, especially the five spiritual faculties, the five hindrances, the four noble truths, the dependent origination, seven factors of enlightenment, even the three evil roots. So all this you will start to develop understanding and witness them all within your meditation. Okay, I will ring the bell in about another 10 or 15 minutes. So I will let you meditate on your own. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Learn to be with this mind state for as long as you can. Then for those who have already stabilized the meditative training, you have to bring forth this heedful state or mindful state of mind into the daily life to live life, to continue to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the daily mindfulness, or what the Buddha calls Sati Sampajana. And that is the real meditation. Then from there, you will develop the initial wisdom, which is much needed in your subsequent cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. Okay, now we will continue with the invocation. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas to partake in all the sharing of the Dhamma that we are going to do after this. I will read the English translation. Then after that, we get Ingbi to help us to chant the Pali. Is the mic? Yeah, good. Sadhu. Invocation to the devas. In the universe in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Maybe they mix up these two mic, is it? This one is 64. It's not the battery. Then never mind, use this one. Use this one first. We don't have to record that something.
Hello.
Oh, yeah? It's okay already.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Test.
So they're at the back end here, yeah. Okay, you can start.
Samantha.
Ayang Pandanta Nasaran Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang ma sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sattha Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang vedita doino hiti Supatipanno bhagavato sahavaka sangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato sahavaka sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Āmīcī Patipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Yadidāṁ Chattari Sayukkāni Atta Purisa Pūkala Esa Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Āhuneyo Pāhuneyo Dakkhineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaraṁ Puṇyakhetā Lokasāthi We will chant the salutation to the Triple Gems. We will chant the Thai Star. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Sanghang Namami Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated, then we will continue. We will continue our second session. Second session is about meditation, reporting, and question and answer, Q&A. You can make use of this second session to actually develop the understanding of what is going on with your meditation by reporting your meditation. Then after that, you can also ask whatever question that is related to the Dhamma, to the meditation. And how you can apply what you have learned here together with the Dhamma to understand life and to live life and to help you resolve all of your problems in life. Mm. Okay. So we can open it up to the floor now. So anybody who wants to ask any question or report the meditation, you can raise your hand. Huh? Anybody? Don't be shy. Huh? Make full use of this opportunity. I only saw one lady scratching her head. You want to report your meditation? Yeah? Oh, shy. How many of you are new tonight, first time here? Yeah, two, three. Okay, can I ask you all some questions? You meditate before? Have you all done some form of meditation? Oh, good. You also meditate before? Oh, very good. So you all have some Dhamma understanding, huh? Buddhist based. Huh? So very easy. Huh? Save a lot of time. No need to go through the whole teaching. Huh? What about you all reporting your experience here for the first time? How you find the meditation the last half an hour or so? Were you able to develop some form of understanding? Ah, good. Sadhu. So you want to share what happened? You just describe exactly what happened. That is what meditation reporting is all about. I don't expect you to like think and plan what to say, how to say. Just explain to us, describe to us how you start and how you actually end and the way you understand it. It can bring for a lot of good condition for Dhamma to arise and to develop understanding together.
I feel stillness.
Oh, very good. Very relaxed. Oh, very good, very good. Sadhu.
There's no stress or anything.
Oh, very good. Wow, like that. You already know how to meditate. Very good. Sadhu, every choice. Let's
actually,
say sadhu.
I don't know what is it, but that's what normally I will
do. You will feel, very good. Oh, very, very good, sadhu. What about the guy at the back? So we can have different sharing. Oh, yeah.
Mine went a bit messy.
Oh, okay. It's normal, huh? A lot of thought. Yeah. This one more typical one. Now one cultivate before.
Very sleepy tonight.
Sleepy, huh? Very good. Did you sleep?
I don't know, is that asleep or not?
I hear some snoring somewhere. But you can relax and have a good sleep. It's good. Sleep is not easy to come by. And apart from all this wandering thought, sleepiness, what else?
Felt a bit calm.
Towards the later part. Then when I lead you into the mind sweeping method, were you able to follow or not?
Not fully.
Okay.
The mid of there, I got a bit distracted with
Your thought.
Cramp and all.
Leg cramp, the thought, and the pain. When your leg cramp, what do you do?
I adjust it.
Very good. Don't be shy, just adjust it. But when you adjust it, do it with awareness. Do it with understanding. It means your body is restricted in a certain posture. And because the chi cannot flow, that's why you will develop pain, numbness, and all those things. Then sometimes itchiness. Then all this can arise. But you can endure a little bit. It will be useful. You off your mic. Off your mic first. Press it all the way down. So when you can endure a bit, you will feel much better. Because the training of the mind is initially you have to develop some form of patient endurance. If the slightest uncomfortable distraction from your posture also you need to move, then your mind cannot settle down. It cannot settle down into the meditative state. So you need to give it a chance, endure a bit, then let it relax and settle down. Just like our sister here, feel very relaxed. That is the key to meditation. Oh, very good. Oh, sadhu, you got tears coming out. Oh, your nature know, your heart inside know, but you don't know, the thought don't know. Don't worry, it's from your past. The tears will flow. That's why you have this from your past. Otherwise, you cannot feel the peace, the calmness, and the stillness. Then the tears come because it's from your inner nature. Your inner nature in the past developed this before, and it's like something that it has been longing for. Then all of a sudden it manifests. Can we off that fan? It's giving us a lot of vibration and harmony. Not to say I cannot stand it, I can stand it, but see? Stillness, recording. You realize or not? Because when that thing, for us trained already is not a problem, but not trained one, this thing will condition you to have that vibration. Then you go home, sleep also, that vibration is with you. So when we all, you realize or not, the whole environment still. This is a very good example to understand your mind. You know, most of the human beings' mind throughout the day is like that fan non-stop. Think a lot, complain a lot, vibrate a lot. With that type of vibration and sound and chattering inside there, how can you have peace? That's why the Buddha said, these are hindrances. You have restlessness of mind. Why? Because you have a lot of problems. When you have problem means you have fear, worry, anxiety, correct, or unhappiness. That's why you have all this restless mind. When you have fear, your mind is very restless. When you have problem, you worry a lot. Then you are very anxious, a lot of anxiety. Then when certain things already gone very wrong and very bad, you got a lot of sadness, sorrow and lamenting. So all these are hindrances that cause you to be restless. Then you are very doubtful, you don't know what to do. Then your mind is like full of what they call negative tendency. Fear, worry, anxiety, all these are negative tendency. Then inside there, very noisy, no peace, no calm. So these are hindrances. And sensual desire, ill will, is because throughout the day when you live life, when you see something, you react to it. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then when you hear something, also same. When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, technically feel or think, your mind tend to react. That tendency to react create duality. This is positive craving, sensual desire. This is negative craving, ill will. And these are part of the evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why if you do this so often throughout the day, whenever you are conscious of things, whether you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, it becomes habitual. Then this habitual tendency create repeated reaction of mind. That's how you become heedless. And heedlessness, the heedless are as if dead spiritually, there is no life. So because of that, this type of mind is very noisy, like that fan, very, very noisy. Then if you want to train and develop the peace, you have to develop this. When you have faith in yourself, confident, you are very calm and very peaceful. Then when you have the Buddha as a very, very unique example, he is such a beautiful being during his time when he was born. You can say the Buddha is the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, fully enlightened, perfect in enlightenment. And he is perfect in wisdom and virtue. He has cultivated very, very long for many, many eons. That's why you can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during that time. And he can teach all beings, teacher of man and God. He can even teach the gods, the devas, the Brahmas. So because of that, to have such a great teacher, a great being as your teacher, you will have a lot of faith, gratitude towards him and respect. So this will strengthen your spiritual faculty. Then your mind becomes very calm, very composed. No more restlessness and all this nonsense. That it will drive you to meditate because you will come to know his teaching is so potent, so powerful, can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, can change you completely, transform you as a human being, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, until you become so beautiful, until you no need to have any more suffering. You got nothing in this world that can make you unhappy and miserable. You got no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sorrow. You are always peaceful, happy, full of joy and understanding, and you can live life so beautifully. So because of that, this spiritual faculty actually are very important faculties that will transform you completely. Then when you are mindful throughout the day, you are just aware without thought. And when you are just aware without thought, the Buddha says you are heedful. The heedful are ever mindful to develop wisdom. Yeah? And to develop wisdom, you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's why ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path is heedfulness, apamada. So when the spiritual faculties are in place, your mind becomes very beautiful. This mind is the meditative mind. It has a lot of faith, sadha, virya. Then it has a lot of mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness. There is no thought, little or no thought at all. It only uses thought when it is absolutely necessary to communicate and to live life. Apart from that, those that have the spiritual faculty or the cultivators, the enlightened ones, they are most of the time peaceful and silent and just aware. And their mind states are very beautiful. They are constantly aware, ever mindful. Then in the state of samadhi, their mind are collected and unwavering. Then they have wisdom, understanding, and they know how to attend to things. They know how to accord and flow and develop understanding and be a blessing to all. So this type of mind, if you experience it in a meditative place or a very good setting like retreat place, you will see the big difference between heedlessness and heedfulness. So if you are wise, just like the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 22, he said distinctly seeing the big difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise will intend on heedfulness. So if you intend on heedfulness, you will train your mind to develop spiritual faculty and be heedful, so that it's not heedless anymore, so that the hindrance will be at bay. Then such a being, the Buddha said, they will rejoice in the realm of the enlightened one or Aryas. So this is a very powerful Dhammapada saying, Dhammapada verse 22. So when you understand, you determine to be heedful. Then verse 21 also confirmed, is it? Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Means spiritually, you are as if dead. There is no more spiritual life. So these are the actual reason why the Buddha said you need to train your mind. You need to develop this understanding so that you can make a big difference to your life. And there are so many benefits that come from the training of the mind. We call it the benefits of meditation. The moment you train your mind, this mind becomes different. You will develop inner peace and inner well-being so easily. Understand that? The first two byproducts of training the mind to develop the meditative mind is the inner peace and inner calmness leading to the inner well-being. And this is what normal living beings find so difficult to have. To have a moment of peace is not easy to most people. So don't take this for granted. But if you are a meditator, if you are a cultivator, it is very simple, very easy. And this can actually help you in many ways. A mind that is peaceful, calm, with inner well-being and inner peace, can actually rest very well. You can recuperate from your tired day, your stressful day. You can actually bring about very speedy recovery, like you recuperate very fast. So after a very hectic or tired day, you just silence your mind, meditate and relax. Then you become very fresh, very peaceful. Then when you are silent and peaceful, with inner peace and inner well-being, your vibration is very positive. The loving kindness energy together with the stillness energy, they are so calm, so peaceful. And like what the scientists has discovered, when they subject the water sample to different vibration, they put under microscope, they see the crystal that come out from good vibration are very beautiful, very, very organized and very beautiful. Whereas the crystals of those water that are subject to very, very hectic type of vibration, like city vibration, like heck hazard one, those noise and all those things. And some they even go and say abusive word and unhappy, angry word at that water sample. Then some they put it in the church or in the temple where people do chanting. Then some they put it within the place, marketplace or the crowded place where a lot of people shout around, argue and all the traffic sounds, and then they analyze. Then they realize the crystal of all those that are very polluted and very negative in the vibration, they are all what they call not proper. Means they mutate and they are actually in a state of disorder. So if you were to reflect, your human body, I think 80% is water, correct? So every day you subject your brain to this type of crazy vibration, your anger, your hatred, your sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness, you know, you definitely get sick on that. Otherwise, cancer is definitely on the way. Because your cell will mutate and so on, just like the water sample they put in. But if you meditate and have inner peace, inner calmness, inner well-being, then you radiate love and metta. Then you listen to chanting, you listen to beautiful vibration of music and all those things that make you very peaceful. All these cells, they will become beautiful, healthy cells. That's why you can recuperate. Yeah. And your immune system will go up. Whereas the other way around, the immune system will deteriorate and you will succumb to all those traumatic disease and all those things. So these are the great benefits of meditation. But apart from health, when you train your mind to have the spiritual faculty, when you have inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness, you have clarity of mind. And sana, when the mind has clarity, you can learn faster, you can understand things better, you can make better decisions in life. That's why it will help you in many aspects of life. In your career, in your study, in your relationship with people, in the way you have to make decisions and all those things, you are so much ahead and better because your mind is not clouded. Your mind don't have restlessness, don't have doubt, don't have all this heedless thinking inside. Yeah. All the negative mind state, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, they are all not there, not existent at all. So you have a very healthy mind, very healthy body, very good vibration within you, your cells are all very healthy. So this will make a great difference to your life. Then with this clarity, if you use it to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, to develop spiritual understanding, you can awaken and become enlightened. And that one money cannot buy. Then you understand life. Then you know how to live life. And you become so beautiful. You can become a blessing to all. And these are all the great benefits of training the mind, developing the meditation and benefits of having this type of mind. Then there is another aspect. As you develop this Dhamma, as you understand life clearly, not only you know how to live, you actually can help people. You can also become a blessing to many. Yeah. Then the other aspect about this meditative mind is you can sleep very well. You don't have to worry about insomnia. A lot of people in depression, they cannot sleep. They suffer like mad. They go and see psychiatrist. Initially, they give them what they call tranquilizer, or what they call sleeping pill. Tranquilize and make you sleepy so that you forget about your problem, then you have some good sleep. But as you become dependent on this drug, then you realize your dosage keep on increasing. Then when you forget to take, you know what happened? It's like drug addict. You become like affected by it. Then there is so much phobia, so much fear, and you become so tense. And the whole mind like want to explode. And having so much problem. So this is a result of dependent on drugs and all those things. But initially they got no choice. Those people who cannot sleep and have depression, to them, even a few hours of good sleep is very, very precious. But there were many of these case of depression people who later came and see me. Later on, they revealed to me, is it, you are right, is it? I took all this medication, I become dependent, is it? After that, it doesn't work at all, is it? He doubled the dosage. He can only become, like, not to say peaceful, no. Like, he can manage to sleep for less than 1 hour, is it? And again, the thought comes. I say, it's because of that depression thought. Because this one has become like a tape recorder. It has been haunting you for so long. And it keeps on coming back. That's why you cannot sleep. Then later on, I explained to them, I said, it's only your mind. If you can understand your mind and what is going on, you will recover and you don't need medication. And many of them just recover. They just listen. And most of them listen to my talk only. You don't have to really talk to me. But if you have a chance to talk to me, means you have good parami from the past, good condition. And when you talk to me, you learn more, you learn faster. And you can come out of it very fast, I can tell you. What I share with people are very simple. I think the next book that is coming out should have that one. It's in the earlier book. I think Samatha Vipassana Meditation. Bhavana, you remember the pink book? At the end, was it that book? You got a copy or not? Yeah. Oh, I have it here, sorry. This book is very good. You read from page 16 onward, you can understand the meditation very well. Then at the back, if I'm not wrong. Not this book. Another book. Must be the emptiness one. Oh, is it emptiness or which book? I know, not printed yet, but at the back I got give all the advice for people to come out of their problem, their depression and all those things. The few things that I used to advise people. Don't worry, when the book come out, you will know. I check and see whether which book. Yeah? This book, Knowing Ends. Is this the one? Maybe this one, Knowing and Seeing. Oh no, not this book. Not this book. Not this book. It's not this book also. I think it's emptiness. Huh? Yeah. Haven't come out yet. Wait for the book to come out. That book, when it come out, it will help you all. That was based on a talk in Klang on emptiness. Yeah. They chose that topic. I didn't choose the topic. So I thought, such an abstract topic. Who want to listen? Everything also empty. You come to the talk for one. But it turned out to be a very, very beautiful and very meaningful talk. And there were so much things inside there. I just finished the editing. I think I can send it out tomorrow for all the, what they call, Kayanamita to help refine the Pali font and all those things. And maybe we got people who can help out in the language proofreading and all those things. Then later on the typesetting. So all this, once it's done, we will get it printed. I think we should be able to get it printed sometime in June or July, before we go to Omisan. Putosan. Omisan last year, really good. This year is Putosan, September. I think we don't need so long. Maybe during the time when I'm away, my crews, you all go and finalize everything. Then I come back, I just check through. Then we can send it for final proofreading. Then after that, we just print it. June or July, I think. End of June or early July should be okay. Okay, coming back to the reporting. So you look at the two reporting, so contradicting. One is so peaceful and so beautiful. The other one is a typical one. Not to say your reporting is no good, very good, because very typical. Normal people, most of them like you, when they start thinking a lot, the thought. But at least now you know, when you try, off the mind, is it off? Okay. Most human beings, they don't realize they think a lot until they sit down and meditate. Then you see why all this thought, you didn't even really welcome them. That's why it is not you. You got no control over what will happen. What thought is going to come out, you cannot control. And you can't understand how come this thought, how come keep on haunting you? How come you want to be peaceful, you cannot be peaceful? That is the beginning of meditation, to inquire and to understand. Then later on, as you develop the understanding, all these become very simple. You can just overcome them easily. But the Buddha's teaching help a lot. This explanation help a lot. So if you understand this, then you zero in on training your mind to have the spiritual faculty. Then you will become very different. Your mind state will become very different. But to train yourself to develop this initially is not easy. But if you have your path, then it's very easy. Then very quickly you settle down. Then very quickly you actually can progress. And your meditation can take off very fast. That's why understanding makes big difference to your cultivation. If you don't have the proper understanding, you can go round and round and round. Like they say, go Holland, come back, go another place, Germany. Then after that, you still come back to square one. How come I'm still in PJ? I haven't really changed. So meditation, when you do it without understanding, end of the day, you may experience some funfair. It's just like you go to funfair. All the very beautiful clowns and all those things make you so happy. Then you take the ride, you play this game, play that game. But for a while, you experience all this funfair thing. So meditation is the same. You go for retreat or say, then you become very calm, very peaceful for a while. Then certain time, your mind state is so beautiful. Then you thought, oh, this is meditation. This is really wonderful. Then you like it so much. You develop attachment without knowing. But the moment you come back to your daily life, you realize within maximum 3 or 4 weeks, you are back to square one. You still got anger, you still got unhappiness, you still got emotion, you still cannot confront the First Noble Truth reality. Then your mind state in the daily life is not like in the retreat. You cannot maintain that type of peace, that type of heedfulness, mindfulness. Then you realize, this is not what the Buddha teach. The Buddha teaches daily life. You must have mindfulness, heedfulness. Your mind must be ever mindful. He says, strive on your heedfulness means constantly aware, ever mindful, to develop the wisdom. And then only you have a possibility of enlightenment. So all this will make you understand. When you meditate without understanding, you can experience all those peace, calmness, but your mind will not transform. The evil roots not rooted out yet. The delusion, the greed, the hatred, the 3 evil roots, they are still there. So if they are still there, there is no way you can transform. So meditation is about understanding clearly how you become affected by this delusion and how delusion condition you to have these evil roots and how this evil root actually delude you to make you evil and condition your suffering in this world. Then when you start to develop clear understanding of all this through the meditation, when you see it clearly, then you start to understand what the Buddha is trying to teach you. You see their characteristic very clearly. Every phenomenon, every mind state, whether physical, mental or nature's phenomena, they exhibit the same characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering. The moment you attach, cling and hold and give meaning, your mind suffers. You see it within your mind. Then you start to understand why the Buddha says, Sabbe Sankara Anicchang. All of Sankara, or mental activity, or thinking, mental states, they are all impermanent. The moment you give meaning, grasp, cling, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, they lead to suffering, real suffering. And you can become miserable, afflicted, full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. And all this, living being cannot liberate, cannot come out of it. And the main cause behind is you fail to see the last characteristic. The Buddha said, because they are impermanent, they lead to suffering. They are not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, and cling on to and say, this is I, this is me, and this can be mine. So that self-delusion trapped the living being. And that is the one they cannot free. And that is what the Buddha called the characteristics of anatta, or non-self and empty nature, not a permanent and changing entity within that you can hold on to, grasp on to, and cling on to. Just like this human body, yeah? This so-called human being, because we have been born into this world and it has slowly developed from a baby's fetus, it starts to grow into an adult. Then it grows old, like most of us now, except for some young ones. So you believe this is you because it has been with you for so long. And how can you deny that it's not you? When you are born, they give you a name, birth certificate to certify that you are so and so. Then they got an identity card to identify you and even give you a space to fill up your religion, your race, your gender, male or female. So all these are what they call the society's way of creating the atta in you, the personality in you, to identify you as a human being, as somebody like very real. That as you continue to live your life using this identity, then when you read the teaching, you find it so difficult to reconcile. True or not? How many of you think you can reconcile? Buddha, Lord Buddha said, everything is non-self, not me. Then who am I? What am I? What am I here for? Then who die? What die? Nothing die. That's why you get totally confused. What the Buddha meant is, there is a human being, but this human being is not you. Ah, that is what he meant. Doesn't mean you don't exist, no. It depends on which part of the you that you cling on to. If you cling on to this form of mind, this so-called human being, and then this one exists. But this one is subject to karma. Follow that nature's law. They follow nature's law within the conditioned world. This is subject to karma, karmic everything. And this one, if you deludedly cling and hold, you become miserable. That is the cause of suffering. And it's so simple. But living being cannot see. Living being say, how can you see this one not me? I want to laugh, I can laugh. I want to jump, I can jump. I want to do anything I can. I want to commit suicide also, I can. You say, not me. It must be crazy. I want to travel, I want to do anything also I can. Then why you say not me? And now I ask you the question. Why did the Buddha say it's not you? I also say not you. Why? Is this human body really you? Is it really you? You haven't read this book. Who are you? read this book and you understand. We can actually go into it again. Very easy. So who are you? What are you? If this form of mind, human being, is not you, then who are you? What are you? You want to start again? Test your understanding. Okay, we start again. Who can draw? Ask who can draw. You ask me to draw, you sure regret. Never mind. It's okay. So, you cannot deny that you have a physical body. Correct or not? This one we agree, yeah? Then you have another one, what? The consciousness or the mind trapped inside. Agree? That's why the Buddha make it very simple. Is it you are the physical body or the form? The form, physical body or the form. So he said you are these two, anasara, form and mind, anasara. That's like namarupa. Very simple, right? Then what can your mind do? What can your mind do? Your mind can feel. Then? Perceive. Then? Perceive, spelling wrong. Now better. Now you all can answer already. Perceive. Correct. Feel, perceive, then think. That's how you think a lot. Thinking means what? Emotional. Peaceful. The mind state, everything. So it can think. It can create all the various mental activity. Mental activity. So mental states. Mental states are all your emotions, mental intention and whatever. Then the last one is what? Your mind is capable of what? Becoming conscious. Because you have your five physical senses. You have your eye, you have your ear, your nose, your tongue, your bodily tactile, and your mind. The five physical senses, the mind upon contact, is capable of arising the consciousness. It can make you conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Understand not? The sixth sense though. So this is the basis of life, understand not? Consciousness. If you don't have a mind that can make you conscious, you are like a vegetable. You don't have life, understand not? Then this human being is like a vegetable, cannot exist, understand not? So now we start. Okay. This form and mind, we cannot deny, we got two parts, okay? So first is the physical body. Is this really you? Yeah? This one very clear, element only, no knowing, how can it be you? So this one very easy, So this one we can confirm, because when the consciousness leave, separate, you call dead. Then what does the pathology do? They cut you out. They do autopsy, You got no more feeling, because the mind is out, this fellow is out, The moment this fellow is out, you say die. Then this guy, they got no more feeling. All this, the four aggregates of mind gone. That's why this one element only cannot be you, no knowing. So no knowing. So definitely cannot be you, Then feeling is feeling you. You feel, why you say not you? Hot or cold, like just now, numbness, pain. Why you say not me? I feel it. Our conventional way, feel. Why you say not you? Is feeling really you? You say Buddha say impermanent. Why? It change, Pleasant feeling become unpleasant. Unpleasant become pleasant. And you never inquire when you meditate. You just go and gullibly note. They say, pain, 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 pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling. You've known like that for a while. You're supposed to silence your mind and just inquire. What happened when feeling, like the Buddha teach under Satipatthana Sutta, is it? You're supposed to be mindful of feeling. When feeling has transformed into pleasant and unpleasant or neutral feeling, you must be aware, understand not? Aware means what? You silent, understand not? And feel it. Then what happened? Then you realize feeling change. When your meditation become very good, good feeling arise. Piti sukha arise. When your meditation become very, very lousy or horrible, pain arise, numbness arise, a lot of what they call heedless thinking arise. Then you develop what? Unhappiness, aversion. That type of feeling is very negative. Then what happened to you? When good feeling disappear, did you die? You didn't die. Then how can feeling be you? Feeling come and go, you didn't die. That's a good feeling. Pleasant, unpleasant, you're supposed to silence your mind to see. Then you realize feeling come and go. You didn't die. That's why the Buddha says feeling is impermanent. Why? Because it's condition arising. Then you must see whether the Buddha is right or not. What do you mean by condition arising? Before I have the good feeling, I don't have it. Then how did the good feeling come about? When your mind state develop good meditative state, when you know how to develop mindfulness, then the spiritual faculty support you. Then your mind develop a lot of calmness, a lot of mindfulness awareness. Then the jhana factor arise. The meditative mind arise. That's why it develop all the wholesome state, the peaceful state, the calm state. No more heedlessness. Then you realize, because condition like that, the mind is like that. Then when you are not able to have this condition because you are not skillful in your meditation, you cannot get it repeated, then you develop the other side of the experience, which is the unhappy state of meditation. Means you don't feel the peace, the calm. Instead, you feel all the hindrance. The chart is missing. Then all the problem. Then you realize all these are conditions arising. It's just like your thought. When you think of happy thing, what happens? Your feeling become what? Happy feeling, isn't it? When you recall your younger day, how you actually go through life, how your parents pamper you and give you all those things. First time you got your toy, you play, then you go to school and you study, and then when you did very well, you get all the prizes and all those things. So, as you recall all those happy moments, you have a lot of joy. But there are people who also go through life not so fortunate. They have a lot of problem when they are young. So they have their scars of memory, their phobia and all those things. They are what they call emotional hurt and all those things, like child abuse and all those things. So when they recall all those scars of memory or unhappy moments, they got fear, they got worry, they got anxiety. They become very sad. That's why you must understand your kid. You must understand fellow living being. They are the way they are because of condition behind. So different condition will condition your feeling, your emotion, understand? So feeling come and go, impermanent. When it disappears, you never die. It cannot be you, correct? The question you're supposed to find out in the meditation is, if they are not me, then how come they arise in me? Then who are you? What are you? Understand? So similarly, feeling come and go, you didn't die. Perception come and go, you didn't die. Thoughts and mental state arise and pass away, you didn't die. Consciousness arise and pass away, you didn't die. Then all these aggregate are not you. Understand? That's why the Buddha said, the body is not you, the mind is not you. But you still think it's you. Understand? And then we ask ourselves, if they are not me, how come they arise in me? And this is meditation. This is how you find out in the meditation. Then you have gone through life there. What we normally see is, we believe that this human being is us because we feel that we can control it there. If you want to cry, we can cry. If you want to jump for joy, we can do it. Even if you want to commit suicide, we can. Then why you say not me? So it's just like the analogy of the car and the driver. Ability to control that car doesn't mean the car is the driver. You can see it. The car, you want to drive fast, you can drive fast. You want to brake, you can slow down. You want to make a turn or maneuver, or you want to do whatever. If you are a very skillful driver, you have complete control over the car. That's it. Then high-tech car, you want it to levitate also can. Then hybrid car, also that car. But ability to control doesn't mean it is you. That's it. You can see the car is a car, the driver is the driver. Correct? Correct? Then you never understand how come he can control. Because the car is in good condition, understand? Petrol, everything there. None of the parts are down. You saw those people on the highway break down, understand? You go and ask F1, Formula 1 driver, go and drive. Cannot drive, well, that car got problem with it. So likewise, the human body is the same. How can it be you? Those that paralyzed from the neck down, or waist down. You see, I want to walk, I can walk with it. Because you don't have this experience. You talk to those people who are paralyzed, you ask them to walk and say, they cannot walk in there. Correct? So the car must be in good condition, then only the driver can drive it around and have control. So this body is the same. It must be in good working condition. Then only you can command it. Understand? That's why sometimes accident, the brain damage, that brain damage, the whole form and mind, the human being loses his own identity, you know. He cannot even remember who he is or she is. So this is very clear to you. The analogy of the driver and the car, that the driver is the driver, the car is the car, means consciousness is the consciousness, the body is the body. So take, for example, the driver and the car. If the driver is a very, very unscrupulous guy, don't care one, heedless one, like the mind that is not trained one, just do what it like. Red light also go on. Oh, then drive very aggressively. What will happen to the car? Kena a lot of summon and accident. Then what happened? A lot of problems. All because of that driver. Your mind that is trapped inside this body is the same. If this guy go and simply, heedlessly live his life, go and have late night, drunk and smoke and do all the funny thing, drugs and everything, until this body is like that car, so severely destroyed, then what happened? Means you don't know how to live. You don't know how to actually harmonize. That's why the mind and the body must harmonize to live life. You cannot be selfish. If the mind is selfish, just like the driver, do what he like, then you'll get into trouble. But if the driver, let's say, very good citizen, obedient, never violate all these rules, like a person who keep the precept, the mind that keep the precept, you will never kena summon, you will never have any problem with people, because you have this, what they call, good nature. You don't violate nature's law and society's law. You don't do all those heedless things, you are very mindful, very heedful. And such a driver and a car will become beautiful, and the car will last much longer, less maintenance. Because wear and tear very much reduced. The driver who don't care, speed, brake, do all those funny stunts, the car will actually lie shortened very, very fast. And a lot of things will break down because it is not designed for this type of activity and stunt. So this physical body also, you cannot push it too hard. You can train it up and do to certain limit, within its limit. But beyond that, you can actually harm the body. So living life is the same. The consciousness is like the driver. You must understand and harmonize with the body. And together, they perform a function. But when it comes to spiritual understanding, it's totally different. The Buddha wants you to understand that this mind is not the true mind. That's why this mind is the conditioned arising mind, your thinking mind, your mundane mind, understand? Can follow that? Huh? You know what is your thinking mind? Conditioned arising, through memory, respond to memory, come out, thought, understand? Feeling. All these are conditioned out, like your anger, emotion. They are never you, understand? But they are conditioned out through your thought, your wrong view. You become emotional, you become angry, you stir your mind. Then this mind, actually the true mind is forever there, eternally there, beautiful, inside, waiting for you. But you have forgotten that it was there all the time. So to you, you get so engrossed with this mind, you have fallen in love with this mind. That's why the Buddha says, attachment to the five aggregate of grasping or clinging is what? Dukkha, suffering. You somehow go and fall in love. You somehow say, wow, my body. I am so handsome. I am so pretty. Oh, every day put ICI. Not to say you can, you can, but understand that this go the way of nature. After a certain age, no amount of ICI can actually make you younger. And that's the form will decay, it will grow old. And it will finally, like a worn-out block guard, collapse. So no matter how well you try to take care, like a car, evil age, asana. You can maintain it, maybe spray it, but it is never the same as the new car, asana. So wear and tear will set in, and the reality of the form will manifest. So if you understand that it's not you, and it will go the way of nature, that's why the Buddha asks you to reflect every day. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and contemplate until very, very clear. Until you understand that this is not you, only element. Then you don't worry about you getting old, getting sick and die, and so on. Then your mind need not suffer, and so on. When the time comes, the form and mind will disperse. Because this is karmically conditioned out for you to use. To come to this world, and this one is not you, Anasana. This so-called human being, this one is the karmically condition. Form and mind. For you to come to this world, Anasana. So this is a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Of course, for the people who are deluded, for you to come and suffer and become tormented. But for the wise one, it's for you to use, to live, understand? To experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But this is what comes with you karmically, understand? You inherit it. That's why you are born of your karma. Now I learn a new word. Not hair, is it air? Is it? How to pronounce? H-E-I-R. Air. Oh, I every time say hair. The H comes in. So, never mind, up to you. Huh? So, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma. After you go spell it, A-I-R, finish. So, you are conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Understand? So, when you understand that this form and mind is what the Buddha referred to, this one, form and mind, is born of your karma. That's why there is such thing as karma. Understand? But ultimate truth, the unconditioned, there is no such thing. That's why the Heart Sutta says, in true emptiness, there is no Dhamma at all, no four noble truth also, no enlightened being also. He no you, he no me, everything don't exist. We are within the unconditioned. Where got all these things? Where got words? Where got concept? Where got mind? This condition arising mind? No. That's why that nature cannot come out. That nature is just true suchness, eternal life, never born, that's why never die. But to realize that nature, this mundane mind, thinking mind, this one must cease. If this one don't cease, you cannot connect, you cannot realize that nature. That's why when this thing cessation of form and mind, you realize Nibbana, the oneness nature. And that is the enlightenment. That is the real awakening. Then the moment you come out of it, when the five aggregate of form and mind come out again, that form and mind no longer deluded, completely understood what this thing is. Then it know how to live. That's why after that, no more suffering. So after that, you can say, this one enlightened. This one enlightened. But who enlightened? Not you. No. We already confirmed, this is not you. This are not you. This whole thing is not you. So that's why, don't be deluded, understand? This one, because of the wisdom connected to the direct seeing from the nature, doesn't suffer anymore. So the Buddha said, this one is arahant, understand? But this arahant is not you, understand? But he know you, he know me. This one is this segment of life. that come and perform the function of, like Sakyamuni Buddha, they call this what? Nimanakaya, the functional body that perform the function of Lord Buddha, understand that? Like you're this form and mind, you're this human being, or this so-called form and mind, Brother Teo. It perform the function of this segment of my nature's life, understand that? Which you call Brother Teo. And this is never me, understand that? Likewise, what you are there is never you, understand that? So don't be deluded. Don't attach and don't cling. Say, oh, you're going to die already. Oh, ayo, how come so painful, so sick? Means you attach, you cling, you grasp. That's why you got suffering. When you grasp to this form, you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. You can become miserable, I tell you. When you grasp to your feeling, your emotional negativity, you can really become miserable. When you grasp to everything, you come to perceive my loved one, my spouse, my parent, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. Ah, you miserable, I tell you. You miserable because of them. Then you vow never to get married again. Then whatever ideology you create through your thought and thinking, you go and cling on to them. You will argue with people. You will become miserable also. No peace, that's why. That one you have to ask Chui. Chui got a lot of that one earlier on. So, human beings who actually don't understand, they get trapped. Then the last one is consciousness. The Buddha said it's like a magician, no? Illusionist, that create illusion for you. And you go and believe everything that you become conscious of. Oh, you say, beautiful. My house, my property, oh, my this, my that, everything like you own. Then the Buddha say, you can't even own your own form and mind, your own body. Where ends all this? That's why he say you are still living in a deluded world, a world of illusion. When you cannot even own yourself, because this is condition arising. So you remember the Green Book? What are the three conditions that sustain this so-called human being? What are the three things? Just now like the car, huh? Means this body must be in good condition, okay? Yeah. Second one is what? The consciousness that is trapped inside. That consciousness must be still inside. If it's already out, there is no more condition. Then what is the third one? Karmic force. So this karmic force is what they call the third entity. Karmic force. And this one comes in the form of supportive karma, understand? Careful or not? Your supportive karma will come and support. That's why it creates the pulse of life, your heartbeat. Understand? Pump the blood to nourish all the organ, everything. When these three, supportive karma, karmic force, physical body, and consciousness, these three, when the conditions are still there for them to come together and exist, then this human being exists. Then what happens? If any of this is gone, the human being is gone. Let's say, accident, brain damage. Consciousness cannot stay inside. It has to go. Then, let's say, karmic force. The Buddha mentioned very clearly, destructive karma. You know what is destructive karma? It has to stop because it come and destroy you. Means this form and mind go. Means karmic force no more. Destructive karma come. No more karmic force. No more supportive karma. That's why this heart cannot pump. Then consciousness has to leave. Because once it cannot pump, it cannot nourish the organ. The organ will fail. When the organ fail, the physical body fail. That's enough. Then consciousness separate. Then you say dead. That's why this is like an analogy of the candle, like the Buddha said. The candle, what does it have? This is a flame. This one is the wax. center one is what? Vick. Huh? How to spell? W-I-C-K. Huh? Okay. These three are the conditions. So when you have a candle so long, you think you live so long. Yeah? You think you live so long or not? Huh? Down come the wind, blow. Choop, this one gone. Then the candle cannot light anymore. This is like destructive karma. Come, pop, gone. Let's say destructive karma don't come. This one continue to burn. No wind. Then what happened? Your DNA no good. Halfway the week, dry. Or got water. The light also gone. Then let's say your supportive karma very good, your wick very good, no defect. But this wax, very lambert. The temperature suddenly very hot. This one all melt. You cannot guarantee that, I still got long time to live. Like most of our average lifespan, 75, why worry? And now 50, 60, still young. Any of these three, they can just go. That's why the Buddha said, contemplate on death. Death is a certainty, can come anytime. That's why we chant. The flower we offer, why? Impermanent. Remind us of the impermanence of this flower. That likewise, this body also impermanent, form and mind. Anytime it can just go. So strive on with heedfulness. That is the message. So that's why when you understand, you don't deludedly grasp onto this five degree of form and mind, your mind liberate, and you can develop understanding, and you can awaken. And this life is very easy if you really strive on. Because the teaching is there. Oh, 10:30 already, we have to end already. Because the teaching is there, and the Buddha Sasana is still around, and the Triple Gem is still around. So do not miss this window. Okay? So we end. We will do the closing puja. Okay? We rejoice. Okay. We'll do the sharing of merits of the day, Vasa. Okay. Akasata ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas, the mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all do be well and happy always. Okay, now we will invoke the blessings for the nation. Devo vasatu kalina sasa sampati hito ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
Friday, not this Friday.
Next Friday is
10.